their boldness with, you know, changing jobs or starting businesses or, you know, taking that risk in real estate or making that investment in a single stock. And I have considered all of those things over the years, but I never had the boldness to pull the trigger. But it doesn't mean that, you know, that my path was a bad one. It's worked out beautifully. And I think in some ways it's more similar to the path that most American millionaires follow. You sort of wake up one day and go, oh, wow, this really worked.
Welcome, millionaires and future millionaires. You're listening to the Millionaires Unveiled podcast, a show where you'll hear the stories and interviews of everyday millionaires. We'll unveil their decisions, their strategies, and their portfolio allocation. Now to your host, Jace Mattinson.
Welcome back to another episode of the Millionaires Unveiled podcast. This is episode number 356. Stace, how's it going?
Going great. How are you tonight, Jace?
You know, this is kind of one of my pseudo favorite holidays, Cinco de Mayo. Eat some tacos, eat some good Mexican food, which I've actually had all weekend to celebrate. So doing pretty good, if I do so say myself. And it's starting to heat up a little bit. We're getting ready for summertime, which is crazy. Kids are getting out of school across the country this month and next, I feel like. And yeah, things change, I feel like, with the seasons and kids getting out of school and everything else that goes with that.
Like convincing them it's time for bed, even though it's sunny outside.
I mean, I'm still trying to convince myself it's time for bed when it's sunny outside. So today we had, I guess a few weeks ago, we had a listener pipe in on SpeakPipe on our website with a question. So I thought it'd be fun to play that. And then we'll give a little kind of hot take on it from our side.
So I have a question about, like, what are the millionaire's ways to handle the stressful turning point in our life, like whenever we are at the starting phase of doing something, there are many hurdles on the way. So how to keep up that millionaire's life when doing something important?
So I think what she's asking is basically, how do you persevere? How do millionaires persevere when things get tough or when you don't feel like you're seeing the results as quick as you would want? Is that the way you kind of interpreted that from her?
Right. I think that she's saying when challenges arise and you're not seeing what you want to see happen, you're not seeing the numbers stack up like you'd like, and maybe you're getting setbacks along the way. I mean, it's easy to do the hard things when life feels good, and it's harder to do the hard things when life feels really sticky and really tricky. You know, from my perspective, and you can share your insight, but I think it's a lot of maintaining perspective and feeling comfortable with giving the no's that you need to give and giving the yeses that you need to give. And I always draw back to when we were first married and I had some colleagues invite me to go get my nails done. And I knew that was not in the budget to go get my nails done. And it was a little embarrassing. It felt embarrassing to say no when all of us are there making the same amount of money and I should be able to say yes like any, you know, of my other coworkers. It could have said yes. And of course it would have been super fun, but we were just really grinding it out. And to this day, even though things financially are different, getting my nails done is not something that I do very frequently, and I maybe could do it more often, but I see myself maybe like two or three times a year saying yes to that. But you kind of get into a mindset of spending the dollars where it matters to you, and that's something that doesn't matter to me that much. So cutting the fat where it doesn't matter so that you really can stack up the bills where you want them to go.
Yeah, and now you have some children to do those nails, so, and they do it for free basically.
And I have some purple nails to show for it right now. I keep forgetting about.
The memory's better than going to the salon on that one. But yeah, I think, you know, today's guest actually really some great light on just what it takes. And, you know, he's on a path that probably most Americans are on. And he's, you know, 30 plus years into it. So it took him 25 years to get his first million and then five to get his second million. And his net worth sitting there right about 2 million right now. But he's worked at the same Fortune 500 company basically his entire life. Started really in high school and through college years off and on. And then post-college effectively has been there his entire post-college career. So probably a story that some can resonate with. I mean, we don't have very many, I feel like, that have come on that have stayed at the same company. But nonetheless, I going back to this question that we got from a listener, you know, I think back to all the different things that, you know, I've learned and studied and all the different millionaires that have come on. And I there's very few that have said, oh man, I just, you know, I hit the lottery, or, you know, started that business last year and I sold it next year and that turned me into a millionaire. It is a thing that is year after year, you know, month after month, day after day, stacking up those habits, stacking up the bills, you know, making the investments, taking the risks, if applicable for you, that you really start to see those results, you know, sometimes even decades later, as we're going to see today in today's episode with James. But I think back to the first time I started doing even just my own net worth monthly tracking of everything, really, between, you know, my life happiness to, you know, my net worth on paper to all the different things that I started tracking, you know, over the last, I don't know, 5 or 6, 7 years. And at first it was like, man, this is like not worth doing this exercise because, all right, it moved by like $500 this month, or maybe it even went down with some of the stuff in the market. But little by little, I'm able to actually go back year over year and kind of see the progress. And when I compare, like, you know, the 5-year increment, it's like, wow, like there has been a lot of progress that's made. And, you know, I think it's Bill Gates that maybe I can't remember if it's him for sure, but one of the billionaires, famous billionaires, said that, you know, we underestimate what we can, or we overestimate what we can achieve in a short amount of time. And we underestimate what we can basically achieve in a long period of time, whether that's, you know, 1 month or 10 years or however. I can't remember the direct quote, but something to that effect, where it is something that, you know, even for them, you know, it does take a long time. I mean, you look at people like Warren Buffett that have, you know, I think 99% of his wealth has come after his 55th or 60th birthday, you know, and people herald him as the world's greatest investor that made most of his wealth after he was what most people would consider moving into retirement age.
I think the last thing that I might mention is I just thought of my favorite quote, which is on my mirror, and I've had it there for, oh gosh, a decade. But it says, "The successful person has the habit of doing the things that failures don't like to do. They don't like doing them either necessarily, but their disliking is subordinated to the strength of their purpose." So I think that millionaires are able to keep the main thing, despite the challenges.
Yeah. So anyway, super excited to have James on today. His net worth at 2 million, and most of that is in retirement accounts. So we'll get into the details with him on that, and really just his journey and trajectory. He kind of reached out to us as one of those that felt like he hadn't heard his story. And, you know, the one thing I really have learned, probably, well, there's a few big things, and we go through this, and it doesn't change that drastically, but one of the things that I've really learned is everybody's path is so individualized that it is really nearly impossible, I should say, to like recreate somebody else's path. But I think that from everybody's path, there's bits and pieces and things that will resonate that you can learn from. And James is no different. But that also reminds me, if you haven't been on the show, send us an email, millionairesandvills@gmail.com, especially if you haven't heard your story. So without any further ado, let's get into the episode with James.
James, you want to just give us a little bit about your background and what you're up to now?
Sure. I really appreciate being on the call or on the show tonight. You know, one of the things that you all always say is if you don't hear your story reflected, to reach out. And so I wanted to do that because I've heard people with similar stories, but maybe not exactly the same as mine. I have worked for the last 30 plus years for a Fortune 500 company in a first line leadership position. Nothing fancy, nothing, nothing spectacular, not a titan of industry or an entrepreneur, or a sports star. And so really, just wanted to share maybe for people who are a little less, risk-taking that might be out there, that financial independence is possible and you can have a great life even pursuing that millionaire next door path of slow but steady wealth building.
We are so glad that you reached out because it is important to hear every story, and we love the slow and steady approach that you've mentioned pre-show that you took. So what is your net worth today?
My wife and I have a net worth of $2 million, right at it. In fact, we just hit it right at the end of the year.
Congratulations. That is incredible. I was reviewing your notes before this and you thought you might hit it coming up pretty soon. So encouraging to hear that just in the last couple months since you put in your information that you've hit it. So congratulations on that. And how is that broken up?
So most of that 2 million is in our 401ks. In fact, that makes up approximately about 3/4 in our 401ks, combination of Roth and pre-tax, which we may get into later. And then our primary home, we have about $500,000 in equity in that. And the rest is just a little bit of cash in the bank and assorted other use assets.
How old were you when you started investing in your 401ks?
So I think we were both in our early 20s when we started. But I have to say that by started, that was probably a really minimal contribution, you know, just getting that match, not doing anything spectacular. My wife and I got married later in life. So we got married in our early 30s after previous relationships. And it was really at that point that we decided not to have any additional children. I've got one from my first marriage. And really said, you know what, well, let's try to get out of the workforce by 55, which we're on track to do. And so really most of our wealth building happened from, you know, the early 30s until where we are now, which is our early 50s. So about the last 20 years.
All right. So kind of minimal contributions that first maybe decade before getting serious about it.
Yeah, I estimated one time that I think that when we got married, we may have had $70,000 combined in our retirement accounts, which is a good starting point for sure. But again, that was a decade or so into the saving process.
Right. So obviously, when you first kind of started out in your careers, you weren't together and you both kind of had your own separate financial journeys, if you will. And you probably can't speak to hers per se, but what was your lifestyle like before wealth building became a priority for you?
Yeah, you know, I think like a lot of people, I remember getting my first, post-college job. I think I made $26,000 a year. I thought it was all the money in the world. And very quickly learned that, you know, it was just enough to pay the bills and maybe put a tiny bit aside, you know, spent everything I had and then a little bit, went through cycles of credit card debt and, you know, consolidation loans, you know, asking for cash for Christmas. All of the things that, you know, sometimes you do when you're traversing those early years of a career and then that sort of messy middle part of the journey as well.
What would you say changed for you, or was it just a joint decision between you and your now wife to make wealth building a priority?
You know, somewhere along the way, I became aware of financial independence, retire early. I remember exploring the extreme early early retirement blog, and I thought, boy, I don't know that that's for me. You know, there were some really extreme strategies, but that concept stuck. The idea that, hey, I don't have to do this forever. And we are blessed to both work for a company that still has a pension. Not many of those around. But so in addition to the net worth, we also will receive pension when we retire. And that's one of the reasons that 55 was the goal, because that's the earliest age that we can pull that pension. But somewhere along the way, you know, it became real that, hey, we could do this. It's entirely reasonable. We also had some good friends who left the workforce in their mid-50s. And I have to say, my parents both retired relatively early, before 60, and without having saved, just through the value of having some great pension and pension plan.
Stace, name some business partners that have really got it done.
Procter & Gamble.
Ben & Jerry.
Supply and Demand.
Salt and Pepper.
Peanut Butter and Jelly.
What about the perfect partners when it comes to growing your business?
That's Shopify.
That's right. That's you and Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million order stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling shipping supplies or promoting productivity programs, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to the leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less, thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is, no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/unveiled, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/unveiled. Now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/unveiled. And thanks again to Shopify for supporting today's episode.
Can you share any details about the type of pension you'll be receiving?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So our pension, you can receive the maximum benefit of the pension if you work until 62. And at 62, that would replace about half of your retirement income. There is a penalty for every year prior to that. And so retiring as early as possible, which is at age 55, it cuts it to about a quarter of your retirement income. Of course, that, you know, everybody has to, you know, figure out, well, what are you going to spend in retirement? And so while it's a quarter of what we'll be making at retirement, it'll replace about half of what we project to be our retirement budget.
Okay, great. Well, that's definitely something healthy to look forward to to help with just cushioning those retirement years.
Let me add just a little bit to that, Stacey.
Yeah, go ahead.
So
I'm pulling up my questions.
All right. So at the beginning of retirement, it'll replace about half of what we project to be our retirement budget. But of course, it is not inflation adjusted. And so that value will erode with time. But I also want to just really stress that even without the pension, that's certainly factored into our plan. But you know, it may have taken a couple years longer, or we may have had to adjust our retirement lifestyle a little bit. But it's totally doable, even if you're sitting there and you're like, well, I don't have a pension that's going to cover half of my living expenses. We're maybe a little on the fat fire end of things. We moved to the coast a year ago as a result of COVID. We were able to do that, but, you know, fulfilling a really a long-term dream of retiring to the coast.
Well, that's comforting because we have no pension in our future.
Very few do, unless you're in government service anymore. In fact, our company does not offer pensions to new employees anymore, but those who've been around or still have it.
Interesting. Well, good thing you slipped in there in those earlier years. Now, did you go to college?
I did. Yep. And in fact, I was a history major, so right on track for, you know, utilizing those tech degrees. But no, I actually learned from the job environment at the time that there were a lot of people in the business world that had non-business degrees, and I'd always loved history and so pursued that.
Very nice. I think that's probably most people in their careers. They diverted from what they studied in college. Did you graduate with any student debt?
So I didn't. I was blessed that my parents, despite being, you know, quite working class, maybe, you know, sort of moving into the middle class throughout their careers, but they scrimped and saved and worked extra jobs, and I got through school with their help and working on my own without any student debt.
Very good. You mentioned that your parents were very working class and they didn't really invest. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct. So my dad was a firefighter. My mom's a secretary, was a secretary. And so luckily, you know, they both ended up with pensions and that over time, my dad's particularly is inflation adjusted, and he makes more now 20 years after retirement than he ever made during his career. And so that's been a real godsend for them. And in fact, I'd say that their standard of living has really increased as they approached and then were post-retirement.
Has your lifestyle changed since you and your wife became millionaires?
It has. Yeah. I mean, not dramatically, with the exception that we moved to the coast. It's a more expensive area. Spent more on a house than I ever, you know, really thought that we would. But we just decided that that was the vision that we had. That was the goal that we had set out as a couple. And so when changes happened with COVID, we were able to work remotely, even though it was scary because the market seemed to be, you know, approaching a high. And I think it was. We bit the bullet and just said, you know what, this is the dream and let's do it now instead of waiting another 3-5 years. We don't, you know, from a lifestyle perspective, though, you know, like I think everybody on the show almost, you know, we drive older cars. I've got a Toyota Tundra. My wife has a Subaru. Both of them are at least 5 to 10 years old. You know, we've taken some great trips over the years, but we've usually done them maybe just a step down from what some of our peers would do. We've bought several homes that we fixed up, you know, our primary residences, but put some sweat equity and love into them and helped increase value that way as well.
All right. Now, coming from a family where you didn't really learn a lot about building wealth, how have you approached this with your own child?
So, super proud that she is out on her own, financially independent. She's done most of that on her own. I hope that, you know, there was some modeling there. We had, as she started her first post, real career job, we had some, you know, some specific discussions around savings rates early on. You know, I did help her set up a Roth IRA that first year that, you know, that she was in the workforce. Probably should have done that one earlier. But also, you know, we had a discussion. She asked me one night, she said, so how does that work? Because I was talking about the importance of saving for retirement and smart young lady, but she really didn't have any idea how that pile of cash that, you know, she saw me building related to being able to retire later on. So, you know, we've had a few good discussions, but she, a lot of it, I think she came to on her own or maybe through osmosis.
I like the osmosis theory. I think that's the right one. So what does retirement look like for you and your wife? This is something you've been gearing up for many years and wanting to have a comfortable life. What are you envisioning?
Yeah, so we're still a couple years away. Hopefully just about 2 years from now, we will be retired. It's really more of what we've been doing and on a timeline that isn't quite so hectic. And what I mean by that is I've always felt like I needed three of me. I needed one to work, and I needed one to do the things that you need to do in life, you know, take care of the house and do the grocery shopping and fix what broke, all of those things. And then one to do all of the things that I wanted to do. And both of us have been very involved in our communities that we've lived in. I've been involved in fire rescue, volunteer fire rescue, spent a lot of time in that space, interested in all kinds of outdoor activities, which we do, but they're always sort of jammed in between other things. And also really looking forward to be able to spend more time on our health and fitness. And so that's something that, like a lot of people in our lives, has sort of come and gone. There'll be a season where we focus a lot on that, pretty good about working out. And it's not always the same season for her and I. And then you get busy and things step aside. So really looking at just being able to fit all of those things in and expand out into some new endeavors as well, but not have to do it in such a crammed, rushed way.
A little bit more leisurely pace to your life, and spending a little bit more time on the things that spark more joy is what it sounds like.
Absolutely.
How will you know it's time to retire?
So, I'm really comfortable with the non-monetary part of that. I know that there's a lot of people that really struggle with what will they do, but I feel like I could fill every minute of every day with things that I enjoy, and I enjoy my work. I really do. So I'm not running from a job that I hate. It's just that there's so many other things that I would rather do more. Or just ready for that change. So it really just sort of comes down to the math. We're in a good position, but there are some, we do still have a mortgage after we moved. And so, really need to figure out how to knock that out. And there are some toys that we may want, maybe a boat in the future, maybe a little travel trailer. So those are things that were, you factor in and you say, okay, what does the solution look like that allows us to find that balance between getting the toys, having that added kind of cushion of stability and comfort with the numbers, and just being ready to move to the next chapter. I fully believe that those 10 years between 55 and 65 are the best years that I'm going to have. And I'm able to look at my parents and, they've had good years past 65. And I hope that that's the case. But I really want to take full advantage of those first 5, 7, 10 years where, I think we're going to be in the best health, most active, most engaged, most able to contribute to our community and to other folks. So that's what we're looking forward to.
I think you're spot on with having those younger years as ones where you have a lot of vitality and interest in some of those hobbies still. I know that something that I've observed with my own parents as they've gotten older is, just kind of the drive to be interested in some extracurriculars kind of declines as that age goes up. And it would have been nice for them to have, I wish they would have, done some things when they were a little bit younger that they wanted to do at the time that now they no longer have, the desire to do. So I like your mentality of using those younger years to your benefit. Is there a certain number that you're wanting to hit before you retire, or is it more of going off of a feeling that you feel like you're ready for it?
I don't know that there's a specific number. But it is all, you know, it really comes down to that plan. We could walk away right now. We could have walked away a year ago and, you know, been fine, you know, had a fun, engaging retirement. But certainly the move to the coast and to a higher cost of living area really adjusted that. You know, it made you think, okay, are some of those assumptions about how much you'll need in retirement realistic, even with a paid off mortgage? The inflationary environment that we've been in the last couple of years is part of that as well. And to say, okay, I know what historically it is, but your starting point because of the inflation over that period looks different, right? Going out to dinner now is $20 or $30 more than it was a couple of years ago. And that's something that we enjoy doing and something that we want to do as part of our social life in retirement. So you just have to factor all of that in. You know, I think that there's probably a number that I would say, oh yeah, absolutely. But I'm not exactly sure where that is in the, you know, between the net worth we have now and whatever that number would be. There's that sweet spot that we're looking for.
Right. How long did it take you to go from your first million to your second million?
So we reached our first million in net worth sometime in 2018. And so 5 years, basically, in a 5 full years after 25 years of building wealth. And not all of that was great markets either. Some of it was, but, you know, it really does start to snowball at a certain point, particularly the retirement savings.
I think hearing that second time period is always encouraging to hear. The first one can feel like a grind, and then after that, it's more smooth sailing. You've mentioned you and your wife working as a team several times throughout this. Do you want to shed a little bit more light on how you've been able to come together and achieve goals together?
Yeah, I think for us it was mostly about vision, and really that vision that, hey, we don't want to have to work late into life. We want to have options. We have had a shared vision about moving to the beach. And so, you know, that's something that developed early in our relationship and sort of clarified itself as we got closer and closer. As far as the partnership, I will say that in most things in life, my wife is the planner. She's the one who, you know, plans vacations or figures out all of the things that need doing. My contribution to most things to our planning is really the financial stuff. And haven't done anything fancy at all, but, you know, I have had an eye on the prize and, you know, we always talk about decisions, the few that we make financially, but, you know, mostly it's just been having that shared vision and sort of, you know, well, what are the steps that we need to take to move in that direction? Luckily, we're both relatively frugal. We don't mind spending money on things that really bring value to us, but we also, we don't buy a lot of new clothes or, you know, like I mentioned, we don't need fancy cars. We do love to go out to eat sometimes. We love to take trips. We love to spend time with family and friends. But we're not big on things in the same way that I see a lot of my contemporaries.
Thanks for sharing that and how you've worked together. Let's wrap up here with a little bit of rapid fire questions. What is a key lesson you learned from childhood?
Hard work. My parents often, you know, held multiple jobs at a time. So in addition to whatever, you know, to their primary career, they were doing other things to make money. And that approach served them really well through life. And so that I think was the lesson that I learned, which is even though I haven't had a super exciting career, I found something that I enjoyed doing. And I worked really hard at it. I took some, you know, risks early in my career. I took a role where I was traveling 200 plus days a year And that had some financial benefits early on that allowed lifestyle choices at that point. But it always, you know, I haven't moved real far up the corporate ladder, but my pay has been probably increased more than some of my peers because of that work ethic, because of the willingness to do things that other people may not want to do, building that skill set, that expertise, you know, in the roles that I've had.
Have you stayed with the same company throughout your whole career?
I have.
What's the most fun you've had with money?
Honestly, moving to the beach has just been a real lifestyle change, a decrease in some of the stressors that we had, you know, where we lived previously. And that has been, you know, that simply wouldn't have been possible without the financial planning and some of the sacrifices that we've made over the years. So it really is that payoff, right? It's all of those years of, you know, not saying no to everything, but saying no to some things. And then, hey, wow, that's the goal. And there it is.
What was your first job?
Retail. Worked at a department store. Yeah, I sold men's clothes and shoes. And one time they asked me to work gift wrap, and that was just a horrible, horrible decision. I lasted two customers.
Did they fire you, or did you fire them on the gift wrapping?
Oh yeah, no. That, I think the store manager walked by, and some woman had taken pity on me and was back there trying to give me a lesson in gift wrapping, and they shooed me off to go back to my regular job.
Do you remember how much you made at that job?
When I first started. $3.65 an hour.
Oh my word. How old were you at the time?
Oh gosh. I think you had to be almost 16 to start. So yeah, I was just a teenager and did that job. I've been, you asked if I've worked for the same company my whole career. I have, and maybe even a little sad before that. I worked for that same retail company all through high school, off and on when I was in college. I did some other things, you know, did some landscaping in the summers here and there, and, you know, did some other things. But, you know, an unbelievable percentage of my working life was that retail company and the corporate company that I went for after college.
Hey, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
I guess not. It is, I hear so many of the guests on Millionaires Unveiled, and I so admire their boldness with, you know, changing jobs or starting businesses or, you know, taking that risk in real estate or making that investment in a single stock. And I have considered all of those things over the years, but I never had the boldness to pull the trigger. But it doesn't mean that, you know, that my path was a bad one. It's worked out beautifully. And I think in some ways it's more similar to the path that most American millionaires follow. You sort of wake up one day and go, oh, wow, this really worked.
You know, it doesn't have to be sexy to be effective.
I'm glad, because I don't think our path has been sexy at all, but it's been fun along the way. You know, we really have, we've been blessed by good growth in our income. That allowed us to, you know, to live a lifestyle that it would have been difficult to accomplish what we did financially, with, you know, 50% less income. It could have been done, but the lifestyle and the savings and the financial planning, that would have been much tougher to accomplish with a lower income.
What's the most expensive pair of shoes you've bought?
Oh, I think I got talked into buying a pair of $140 dress shoes one time. So that would be the most expensive.
Do you wear them?
I do. I still have them, and I wore them to an event. Over New Year's. So
aren't you glad that you got talked into those? You're welcome. All right, and last question: what financial habit has changed the most since you became a millionaire?
Well, one that I'm working on is trying to not balk at spending money on things that really add value. And while that's been a value that we've had, I don't know that we've always been really good at it. And so we were just talking yesterday about you know, hiring somebody to clean the house because it's something that neither of us enjoys a lot. We've done that in the past, but when we haven't for the last number of years. And it's just funny because we, you know, each of us, and I think each person out there has those things that, you know, we just get a little hung up on, you know, when it's, I could do it myself. Should I really pay somebody else to do those things? But really trying to focus on, you know, just not worrying about those things that we're spending on as long as they truly add value to our lives, bring us joy or make life easier as we, you know, look to find new passions.
That's great. Last pieces of advice for someone who's just starting out.
I've got a bunch of them. So I guess, you know, get started. If you're sitting there and you really haven't started on your saving journey, don't worry so much about the details of what you're putting it in or, you know, just get started. And that's the first step to moving forward. The other thing is, you know, I was a young person who read the newspaper. And as I grew older and media changed, I would watch a lot of cable news and I really believed that people had the answers, right? That there were these experts. And what I have come to believe personally is that on any given day, especially as it comes to finances, you can find an opinion that the markets are getting ready to crash, and you can find an opinion that it's the start of the next roaring 20s. And realizing that no one knows the answers, right? That no one really, no matter how well they speak, no matter how good they look on TV, the reality is they don't know any more than you do. So just do the work.
Thank you so much. Well, James, with a net worth of just hit the $2 million mark, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun, Stacey.
Thanks for listening to the Millionaires Unveiled podcast with Jace Mattinson. For more stories, investment opportunities, and information, check out our website, millionairesunveiled.com. See you next time when you'll hear from another everyday millionaire.